At an age when other children were enjoying life's innocent moments, Marlene had to face its cruelest tortures. Weighing less than 2 pounds at birth, she developed cerebral palsy, which left her crippled. In a public school, this wasn't easy.
Not very many playmates. I mean, because what could you go do, or, you know, who could you go spend the night with?
This wasn't the only tragedy wrenching young Marlene. When she was a year old, her parents died in a motorcycle accident. She was reared by great-grandparents and later by foster parents. But at 12 years of age, when some friends brought her to a youth rally, she committed her life to God. Young Marlene felt she'd finally found the father she'd always needed.
I mean, I was his, and he was my dad, and that was it, forever. I just thought that if I was born with cerebral palsy, I must be born with it because God created me that way. I didn't realize he wanted people healed. You know, I didn't realize he wanted good things for everyone, you know. So at first I just thought, well, there's got to be a reason for it. You know, he's smarter than I am.
Just push it. You got to push your pencil. Try it. Okay, good.
During her teenage years, Marlene suffered numerous spasms caused by muscular surgery. These attacks were sometimes so violent they left her tendons with broken bones. After one severe spasm, Marlene was left almost totally paralyzed. Her vision, along with the rest of her condition, grew progressively worse.
She didn't have really any control of her head or her neck. Her head was sort of tipped back, and her lips and her tongue were kind of swollen and drooling, you know, just very... a very tough state to be in.
As a last resort, Marlene was taken from her home to the world's finest hospital, the Mayo Clinic.
Marlene was a spastic quadriplegic and pretty much dependent on other people to provide for her needs. She needed someone to help her get in and out of bed, in and out of her wheelchair, for toileting, helping her to go to the bathroom. Pretty much dependent to the point where she really didn't do a lot physically herself.
Reviewing, you know, team notes in team meetings, at different points, the staff were thinking that there wasn't really a lot of hope for recovery.
January 5th, 1981. Spasticity has progressed. Spasms infrequent, but can last
26.
For one.
Still will not move her four extremities.
March 25th. Still has no voluntary finger movement.
Marlene has been here for over 2 months. Finances from her estate are practically depleted at this time.
The patient will be discharged in approximately 2 weeks' period of time unless there has been significant progress. She will be dismissed to a nursing home.
Being sent to a nursing home was Marlene's greatest fear.
And as best I could talk, I just yelled at him and I just said, God, stop. In other words, just get out of here. But he didn't. And you could just feel his love and his presence, and it came all around me, and it was really, really warm. And he showed me a vision that he was going to heal me. It showed me on the inside of a church. The church had light-colored woodwork. The doorknob on the church was a triangular glass-colored doorknob. And then it showed me in a rust-colored striped shirt, and people, you know, gathered around me praying for me. And there was a man in a pinstripe suit. He showed me out riding a bike on beautiful green grass, and it said March 29th in just great big bold letters, and that was 3 weeks away.
But 3 weeks passed, and nothing happened. But on March 28th, the day before the date given in her vision, still degenerating, still knowing no churches in the area, she pleaded with God. Felt he told her, of all things, to have the nurse look in the yellow pages under churches
hurt.
The next morning.
Hurt.
And I just, you know, kept saying, yellow
church?
Pages only, and, you know, like that, over and over, and she went and got them. And started flipping through them, and it glowed off the page. It said, Obel Scotton, FMI.
My wife honestly thought, and calling was drunk because the speech was so slurred, and she handed the phone to me, and it was very difficult to understand Marlene. She started asking me lots of questions about what the church believed and what we believed. I started answering them, and she asked about healing. Did we believe in healing? Do we pray for the sick? Have we ever seen a miracle? things along that line. And I answered several minutes worth of questions. And she said, okay, you're the one. You can come see me. And I thought, I can come see you.
So a skeptical Scott Emerson answered the call. He arrived at the hospital in a pinstripe suit. Marlene told him he looked identical to the man praying for her in the vision.
She described how the pews were arranged, the colors within the church. There were some doors in the back, swinging doors that entered into the sanctuary. She said there's windows like diamonds in them, and there were. She described everything in great detail, never having been in the church. But when somebody begins telling you things like that, you take note of it.
And then took Marlene to his church. She had to be strapped in because her body was jerking so wildly.
She was all scrunched up, and I thought to myself, my, I didn't realize that it was going to be somebody this bad. And I thought to myself, Lord, this is going to have to be you.
I had never had a miracle take place in his church.
I've never really prayed this way before. But we're going to believe that the Lord's going to heal you from the top of your head to the tips of your toes.
They gathered around me to pray. And he said, I don't know how to pray. But he asked God to heal me from the top of my head to the tips of my toes. And then they asked if I wanted to stand up on faith.
Oh, would you like to stand by faith?
And immediately upon lifting her out of the chair, we began to feel strength coming into her leg.
And she took a hold of the back of the pew, and she just slept.
And my feet hit the floor, and I felt the floor for the first time in my life.
Her knees and her toes pointed together. Everything was pointed in. But with each step that she took, they started to straighten out. As her toes and her knees straightened out, she got stronger and stronger. She took a few steps on her own and then was literally running around the church.
Then she started into going on a little bit of a dog trot around the church. And finally, she began praising the Lord and going around. And I tell you, you talk about the glory of the Lord. We just shouted. The presence of the Lord was so real.
Real enough for another miracle that night in a small congregation of seven.
I would say her glasses were close to half an inch thick.
And my eyes got really warm, and God told me to take off the glasses, and when I did, my vision was perfect.
The sun and give him the glory, great things he has done.
All of a sudden, she put her glasses aside. I don't need these anymore, and you could understand her. Nobody. I was there. Nobody could tell me that was anything but the Lord.
After church, Marlene wanted to do something she'd never been able to do. Hold and eat an ice cream cone. At the ice cream parlor, they saw her therapist.
I was surprised because one of those people I saw was Marlene, and she wasn't being, wasn't using a wheelchair. She was walking, and I just couldn't believe it.
Marlene's return to the hospital caused quite a reaction.
The time from when she had left to when she came back was probably a two-hour period at max, and it was quite a dramatic difference to see her return walking.
The Mayo doctors needed only to discharge Marlene. You returned to the rehabilitation unit that evening walking, something you'd never done since your admission to the unit. And when I saw you back at the clinic some weeks later, you'd improved even more, and all signs of previous abnormality were gone. You were able to walk perfectly normal, and your eyesight had improved so much that you did not need to wear spectacles. We were all very thrilled and happy with the outcome of your condition. Marlene's life has been normal now for 15 years. And traveled sharing her amazing story. It's much easier to do things now like arranging flowers in her floral shop. And oh yes, she enjoys riding her bike through the countryside just as she'd seen in her vision years before.
I was in a desperate situation, and you know, there was no place else to go but to Jesus Christ with my life. And here I am. You know, I'm healed. I'm normal. There's nothing that I can't do. I mean, that everyone else does.
I've always believed in the power of God, and I've read the Bible stories, but we were seeing a Bible story in action. Something right out of the book of Acts, like the lame man that Peter and John said, "Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ, get up and walk." And the Bible says the man was walking and leaping and praising God. We were seeing that happen, not something 2,000 years ago, but something that day, 1981.